Good morning. More formal welcome this morning. We maybe haven't solved the problem. So what we'll do is we just can't get anything on our screen right now. So that means that I'll just do the responsive reading and we're going to hope Sheldon's picked songs we all know. And if not, we'll sing the wrong words. It's okay. Welcome. I don't follow instructions very well, and so I have completely changed the order of things that I was supposed to do. I'm sorry, Lorraine. The normal order, you know, is we have our land acknowledgement, call to worship, confession, silence, and forgiveness, or assurance of forgiveness, and to me, I just feel like lamenting. I just am having a hard time doing anything else but lamenting this season. So in the spirit of lament, I offer up our words in this order. You'll notice I also reference the fact that we have just celebrated the 2-year anniversary of the COVID pandemic, and in a weird twist of irony or fate, the government will be lifting all of our restrictions as well. So there is a lament about that. Also our responsive reading will just be me reading. So feel free to throw an amen or a Lord have mercy when you feel the need. Let's lament. We acknowledge our presence on the lands of the Cree, Ojibwe, Dakota, Métis Nation. We recognize that we are guests on this land and will be mindful of our impact as we critically look at the colonial history's present-day implications. We acknowledge this as our first step in fulfilling our responsibility and commitment to truth and reconciliation.
Good morning.
We acknowledge the second year anniversary of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we grieve loss of 1,700 Manitobans, and we grieve other losses like jobs, celebrations, relationships. We are tired and unsure of the future. Partly we look forward to not having to wear masks and to not be able to gather. Partly we are terrified that it's too soon.
Can you see what?
We acknowledge that this is a weird and awkward time. And that reentry is uncertain and so much has changed. Lord, your ways, O God, are higher than ours. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we seek God's way.
So we'd like to begin with a couple of great songs this morning. First one is Home for a Heart.
Lord, move us away from fearful responses and into the light of your compassion. Holy One, we seek you while you may be found. We call upon you while you are near. Have mercy on us, O God, for our thoughts are not your thoughts and our ways are not your ways. Forgive us for living in fear and help us to live out of compassion. As we walk with Christ on this Lenten journey, let us see your way more clearly and to follow your way more faithfully. God, you are the light of our salvation. You are the stronghold of our life. Whom shall we be afraid? We seek a home in you. We seek a heart of curiosity. We seek an eye for beauty. Grounded in you, sheltered by your wings, you reveal a world unfolding in layers of love. Though we suffer in the journey before us, our consent to your way of compassion makes us strong. Continue to gather and release, O God, as we peck out our path. Sheldon, come up and lead us in some music, please.
Right on, we've got some words. Nice work, tech team in the back. If you would like to stand and join me in song this morning. The sun was out, and every spring I kind of switch into the camp mode. So we're gonna sing some camps with meeting songs this morning. Over me, you guide my way. You lay your hand on me both night and day. Unlock my life, Lord, I give you the key, so that your truth may set me free. Lord, you search me. When you, Lord,
next song is called White as Snow. Laura said this is probably the last time this year I can sing this one, based on the title. So here's hoping. There's something beautiful about a fresh snowfall, even if it does happen every morning. You know, all those things the dogs have dragged out in the yard, that whole mess just disappears as soon as there's a fresh snow. And so let's think about that cleansing nature as we sing this one.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me a clean heart? Restore in me the joy of my salvation. The sacrifices of our God, a broken and a contrite heart, against you and you alone have I sinned. The sacrifices of our God, a broken and a contrite heart, against you and you alone have I sinned. Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? Restore in me the joy of my salvation. Wash me white as snow, and I will be. You create in me a clean heart, O God. Restore in me the joy of your salvation. Would you create in me a clean heart, O God? Restore in me the joy of my salvation.
Thanks. Have a seat.
Thank you, Sheldon. I love that song, even if it's about snow. I'm going to read Psalm 27. As far as scripture goes, and then and then invite Ellen up. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. And though the enemy encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies around me. I will offer his tent, his sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, O Lord, I do seek. I do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not cast me out. Do not forsake me, O Lord of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord and be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Our speaker this morning is Ellen Martins. I really don't feel like I need to introduce her, as she's been around a few times. We're always so grateful when she comes and shares with us. And first she is going, I'll say a prayer for her, and then she's going to do the children's item and then launch into her sermon. So God, we are so thankful for Ellen, and we are so thankful that you have brought her here this morning. Open our hearts to hear what you have her to say. In your name we pray. Amen. So good morning, kids. Are we going to run the video? Okay, the video is on. This is a really great video. And I want you to listen really clearly and carefully about how Jesus is described in this video. Okay, do you want to come forward, or do you want to stay where you are? You want to stay where you are? That's great. And if you, some of you want to come forward, that's fine too. But let's watch this video.
Hey, Lucia, how are you today? I'm okay. I can see that you seem to be quite happy. Oh, I am. I'm almost always happy. That's just me. Happy. Good for you. Aren't you happy? I am okay. I have a job to do, so I have to be serious about that. Oh, what is your job? I guard sheep. What do you guard them from? From coyotes and foxes? And dogs that might want to kill them. Dogs? Like me? Well, they look a lot like you. And if they threaten my sheep, yes, like you.
I would never, never do that.
Well, good. Aren't you ever afraid of those foxes and coyotes? They could hurt you. Yes, they could hurt me. But my job is to protect them. So, if a coyote or fox shows up, I gather the herd into a group and I stand between them and the predator. I love those sheep. My love for them is stronger than my fear.
That's kind of like Jesus.
Really?
How? In the Bible, it says that Jesus is like a mother hen who gathers her chicks under her to protect them.
Jesus is like a mother hen?
Yup.
Very interesting. I suppose if there were sheep around in Bible times, there would be a story about a llama guarding them.
Oh, Lucia, there were sheep and goats, but they didn't have llamas. They had shepherds, people who took care of them. In fact, some of the best stories are about how the shepherd takes care of the sheep, like the one about the shepherd who had 100 sheep. But one day, when they got back home from grazing the fields all day, there were only 99. So the shepherd made sure the 99 were in a safe place, and then he went to find the one that was missing. Was it dark? I don't know. It could have been. If it was dark, wasn't the shepherd afraid to go looking for the lost sheep? Probably. But his love for his lost sheep was more important than his fear of the dark. I see. And the Bible says Jesus is like that shepherd. Jesus is like a mother hen and a kind shepherd. If the Bible was being written today, would it say that Jesus is like a llama? Very possible, Lucia. Very possible.
Okay, thank you for that. Did the llama look like something that could protect sheep? Llamas are so hilarious. They look like sheep with really long necks. And you wouldn't think that they could protect a herd, a flock of sheep. But apparently it's true. And that brings us to our story today, that Jesus is our protector. And in this story, there are a few unlikely things that happen. First of all, thank you for the invitation. Thank you, Lorraine, for extending an invitation to be here this morning. Thank you, Wes, for sending me the scriptural references. I've been sitting in that chapter of Luke ever since Wes sent me the scripture. It's always so lovely to be here. It is warm and the Spirit is amongst us. So I am going to read the scripture that Wes sent that is in our lectionary readings for today. The fun thing about lectionary is it makes you look at scripture that you wouldn't ordinarily choose. And so we're sitting in Luke 13, and we're going to start at verse 31. And that's where I'm going to start reading. Luke 13. At that time, some Pharisees said to him, "Get away from here if you want to live, because Herod Antipas wants to kill you." So Jesus replied, "Go tell that fox that I will keep on casting demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and the third day I will accomplish my purpose. Yes, today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must proceed on my way, for it wouldn't do for a prophet of God to be killed except in Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And now look, your house is abandoned, and you will never see me again until you say blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord." There are two unusual things about this passage. Jesus rebukes Herod. Jesus is usually rebuking the Pharisees. The second interesting thing is that the Pharisees are the ones giving Jesus the warning. You need to get out of here because your life is on the line. Every now and then, Herod's name pops up in the gospel stories, and more specifically in the Gospel of Luke this morning. I wanted to do a kind of a review or a cursory look at where Herod is mentioned. And when Herod is mentioned, we are reminded that Jesus is living out his life and his ministry, and at the same time, there is the dynasty of Herod and company. So right off the hop in Luke 1 verse 5, it says, "When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah." And so begins, with Zechariah and Elizabeth, the story how of
the birth of John the Baptist. Then a little later in Luke 3, Herod is mentioned again. It was now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was the governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was the ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis. And Lysanias was ruler over Abilene. And so begins the story of how John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. Shortly after that, Jesus makes an enemy with King Herod because John made an enemy because John also publicly criticized Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many other wrongs he had done. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to his many others. The account of John's death is not included in Luke, but Herod does make reference to John in an attempt to find out who Jesus is. If you want to read the story of John's demise, it is found in the other scriptures, and I must have been told it way too early in my childhood formation because it still traumatizes me. It's not particularly family friendly. But here, Herod remembers John. When Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee, heard about everything Jesus was doing, he was puzzled. Some were saying that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. Others thought Jesus was Elijah or one of the other prophets risen from the dead. "I beheaded John," said Herod. "So who is this man whom I hear such stories?" And he kept trying to see him. And then the last cameo appearance of Herod at the culmination of Jesus's ministry and death. At Jesus's trial before Pilate, Herod was delighted at the opportunity to see Jesus because he had heard about him and had been hoping for a long time to see him perform a miracle. He asked Jesus question after question, but Jesus refused to answer. Meanwhile, the leading priests and the teachers of religious law stood there shouting their accusations. And then Herod and his soldiers began mocking and ridiculing Jesus. Finally, they put a royal robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies before, became friends that day. And so just in a very short time, you see that the story of Jesus and his followers intersects with the powerful members of the empire of Herod. Herod's threats were not a surprise to Jesus, and nor are they a deterrent. Jesus compares Herod to a fox. Foxes are crafty and sly, cunning and wily, devious and underhanded. They are usually loners, and they skulk. Kids, that's a new word, skulk. We saw a fox skulk yesterday out in a field all by itself. And even in its fox-like nature, it was looking around as if there might be a predator after it. And it got me wondering, what is the predator of a fox? That's a good question. And in this scripture this morning that we read, it says that Jesus says, despite the threat of Herod, he is going to continue his work. He is going to continue to heal, restore, and cast out demons. Jesus points to his death and his resurrection by saying, "And the third day, I will accomplish my purpose." Jesus is not afraid. And his statement about Herod is a rebuke of the empire's power to execute an innocent man. which is what they do. We don't really hear what concerned Herod about Jesus's ministry, but Jesus's response to Herod gives us a hint. It is the abundance of life that Jesus brings to everyone that he touches that most threatens Herod. Why would Herod fear? Why would Herod have to fear this gentle and commanding Galilean who stirs things up in the most seemingly innocuous manner? Why would Herod have to fear Jesus' tender care for the hurting, the downtrodden, and the sick? Why would Herod the fox, with all his power, consider relevant the prophet who compares himself to a hen protecting her chicks under her wing? Herod, in his fortified dynasty, hears reports of Jesus's actions towards the sick and the poor. And he may hear rumblings of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God. Does he imagine that this new kingdom will displace the authority of his own power, his own might, his own reign? Does he fear that his kingdom is going to be upended by this new upstart named Jesus? It's so seductive, the ploy of the fox, that the fox can frighten and threaten and take what is not his. That the fox can use his position and power to intimidate and manipulate. That with wealth and freedom and political voice, the fox can act like the safety and the prosperity and health belong only to the worthy, and the fox gets to decide who is worthy. On the other hand, it's so comforting and compassionate, the protection of the hen over her chicks, to the littlest of chicks. The shelter of the hen's wing is enough to ward off all dangers. To the littlest of chicks, the hen's wing is enough to say, I am in good care. I am in good hands. To the most vulnerable, the possessive and compassionate care of the strong is enough for the vulnerable to say, I am safe. And that is what the fox does not know, that imperial powers cannot quash the good news of Jesus Christ. That kingdoms and earthly reigns will come and go, but the word of the Lord and the kingdom of God are just. They are countercultural and they are eternal. As I mentioned, I have been sitting in Luke 13 since Wes sent me the scripture passages. And I want to share it with you this morning in its fullness. So I'm going to read chapter 13. And as I do, I want you to listen for compassion. The compassion that Jesus has when he invites us to repent of our sins. A compassionate, patient response to a fig tree. A healing response to a woman. An angry response to the Pharisees, a descriptive response of what the kingdom of God is actually like, and a compassionate judgment response. Because in the end, aren't we at peace knowing that we will be judged by the most compassionate God who knows our very heart and mind and motive? So either read with me or just sit back and listen. Listen for compassion and Jesus's power. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were offering sacrifices at the temple. Do you think that those Galileans were worse sinners than all of the other people from Galilee? Jesus asked, is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will perish too, unless you repent of your sins and turn to God. And what about the 18 people who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I will tell you again that unless you repent, you will perish too. And then Jesus told this story. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it, but he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's just taking up space in the garden. And the gardener answered, sir, give it one more chance. Leave it another year and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, then you can cut it down. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, dear woman, you are healed of your sickness. And then he touched her and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised God. But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. But the Lord replied, you hypocrites, each of you works on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from its stall on the Sabbath and lead it out for water? This dear woman, a daughter of Abraham, has been held in bondage by Satan for 18 years. Isn't it right that she be released even on the Sabbath? This shamed his enemies, but all of the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. And then Jesus said, what is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree. And the birds make nests in its branches. He also asked, what else is the kingdom of God like? It is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little tiny yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough. Jesus went through the towns and the villages, teaching as he went, always pressing on toward Jerusalem. And someone asked him, Lord, will only a few be saved? And he replied, work hard to enter the narrow door to God's kingdom. For many will try to enter, but will fail. When the master of the house has locked the door, it will be too late. You will stand outside knocking and pleading, Lord, open the door for us. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. And then you will say, but we ate and drank with you and you taught in our streets. And he will reply, I tell you, I don't know you or where you come from. Get away from me, all you who do evil. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for you will see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you will be thrown out. And people will come from all over the world, from east and west, north and south, to take their places in the kingdom of God. And note this, some who seem least important now will be the greatest then. And some who are the greatest now will be least important then. Compassion drives out fear. Compassion drives out judgment and malice and resentment and hostility. We take up compassion because of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who modeled compassion, who gave everyone that he was in touch with a more abundant life. Compassion and care. So, yes, lament. We hold the Bible, we hold the scriptures, and we hold the news. And I just thought of this quote this morning. There is not always a solution to suffering, but there is always a possible response. There is always a compassionate response. Globally, with Christians and people on the ground in the Ukraine, there is always a compassionate response. And locally, when people are suffering, people are tired and weary, and we have some repair to do from the COVID response. And God will tell us where that repair needs to happen. God's compassion is total, absolute, and unconditional, without reservation. God's compassion is the compassion of one who keeps going to the most forgotten corners of the world and who cannot rest as long as there are still human beings with tears in their eyes. And that is why we gather. That is the God we worship, the God of compassion and care, the God who does not fear tyranny. And God's action in this world will not be deterred by the events of this world. May God bless us and keep us.
I think this might be a different song than the one that I'm doing, but the one that I'm doing is familiar to everyone. It's a song of blessing. Go for it.
Oh, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord turn his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And be gracious to you. The Lord turn face to you and bring you peace. praise to you.
God bless you and keep you from this time and place into whatever awaits you. May you follow God's way of compassion. May the embrace of Jesus's ease, may the embrace of Jesus ease your fears and encourage you to care for others. May you remember that you are a chick, like a chick under the protective wing of God. And as you go, know that our God of the wilderness remains with you on the way. Amen.